dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Hope your Tuesday's been going pretty darn good. The Astros, 25-22, got a victory in game one of their set versus the Rays. They'll be back in action tonight with a new man on the mound, which will be interesting to see. Always big shout out to Dirty Red, Clint Sterner, who is indeed in the building. Just in case you were wondering if he was going to be on the show today. I don't know why you would wonder, but he is here. But
he was wondering.
Oh man, I was pulling you a little bit behind the scenes there. But how many Astros All-Stars do you believe that this team has at this point? 713-572-4610. Of course, that's not how any of this works, right? You don't determine who the All-Stars are now. You have until the middle of the season thereabouts. But I mean, at the quarter pole, it's an opportunity. I love milestones because it's an opportunity to kind of reflect and look at things. And we've looked at some other things, how this Astros team is playing. They're currently three games above 500. They have an opportunity to win yet another series in this tight stretch of games where there's no rest. But we were talking about Jake. Jake Meyers has been fantastic. You saw him do some fantastic stuff yesterday as well. I mean, he's just been that over the last, I mean, even 14 days, 28 days, he's been hitting, what, like damn near 300 right in there. He's been good. He's looked confident. He's stolen bags, right? All of those things. And Brandon Scott mentioned that, could we have an All-Star on our hands? And that got me thinking, how many All-Stars does this team have? And I know some of you have gotten on the text line and mentioned some. I'm surprised that nobody's mentioned the one guy that I think is actually probably the best lock outside of Hunter Brown. Hunter Brown is the lock, right? Hunter Brown has been fantastic.
Pitching a different category. You know, pitching is somewhat of a different category.
There's two locks, actually.
Yeah.
Pitching-wise.
Hunter Brown and Josh Hader.
Josh Hader.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Josh Hader's. Like, he's an all-star.
He is an all-star. And so you have those pitchers. But then when it comes to position players, nobody's mentioning Isak Paredes in a way that I feel like is kind of wild. We were using Fangraphs WAR when we were talking to B. Scott about this. And when you go to third baseman and you look at Fangraphs WAR, the best third baseman in the AL is not Isak Paredes by WAR. It is Alex Bregman, and that is fair. That is understood. Like, he's gotten to Boston, and he's had a hot start. We know the defense that he brings with him, but just the bat is immaculate, and it's also been helped by the way that the Red Sox have made some adjustments for him.
Yeah.
Second in Fangraph WAR is Isak Paredes, right? And the thing about this in particular with Isak is there – I'll ask this as a question for you, Lopez. Is there anything about what he's done that feels like he's been playing out of his mind, like above what is a reasonable expectation for him to continue doing as the season goes along?
Not really. You know, we all knew when they brought him in as the replacement, so to speak, for Bregman, you know, what he was capable of. Now, he might be having a better season than we might have expected. You know, you wanted certain things to happen. But no, he's not out of character. See, now Jake Meyers, you can say, is somewhat out of character, at least from what we had seen, you know, over the course of most seasons. But no, I think you know, Paredes is getting it done, and none of it is crazy, you know.
And he feels like he exists in a place where I also look at some of the other AL third basemen, right? Just to give you an idea, Michael Garcia of the Royals, right? Zach McKinstry of the Tigers, Josh Young of the Rangers is interesting, just because defensively he's been playing very well himself. But so, if I mean, you can look at a metric where he might be the best defensive third baseman to this point in the AL, but Isak is second in that way as well. So I look at all that and I go, Alex Bregman has the name in addition to kind of the production for he's probably an AL starter at third base. I don't think anybody would be too upset with that. But when you look at the guys that could end up being then the substitutes, and Isak feels like he's in there, and that's an all-star still nonetheless.
I think he's got the enough of a name recognition, enough of a resume that he'll probably get there with the season he's having. The one that's interesting to me is Jake Meyers, who's having an all-star now. He still has June, and I think all-star voting goes into the first week of July, maybe the very end of June. So he has June to stay, you know, keep doing what he's doing. But he doesn't have the name recognition of a Julio Rodriguez. And I think that's – and he's right – they're both right there together. Rodriguez doesn't have the batting average, but he's got like 8 home runs and pretty high OPS. So I think he'll be the pick there at center field for a number of reasons, not just, you know, the production. If you're just looking at the numbers, most fans are not just going to be looking at the numbers.
No, and that's fair. And, I mean, we mentioned Byron Buxton, who is currently mm-hmm. on IL with the concussion after running into a familiar face, Carlos Correa. They both ended up with concussions, or at least in the protocol. Mm-hmm. That does not seem like it will keep him out forever, but Byron Buxton seems to always end up with one of those kind of significant IL stints. Mm-hmm. If for some reason he didn't, he's your center fielder in the AL. He has been fantastic, and he always is. But if he is not, you mentioned Julio Rodriguez has a big name. In that same place of similar production, big name, Cody Bellinger for the Yankees. Mm-hmm. And you know the Yankees kind of have a different level of pull in some ways. Riley Green is an interesting guy when you talk about it. Cedric Mullins is an interesting guy when you talk about it, although the Orioles have been in a funny place. There's enough teams in there. Plus, one of the things that gets a little tough when you start talking about all-star in baseball is sometimes some of these teams got to have an all-star representative, and if they're not, if they maybe don't have a guy that compares, but their best guy mm-hmm. is at one of those positions, can they pop up and steal a place from somebody? And so I think we're a little bit far out to be able to determine some of those, but we might need to start looking at some of these teams in the AL that are near the bottom and
figure out who their
all-star representative that is maybe going to steal a place is, and if that might have some level of bearing or effect on some of these guys that we're talking about that might not be starters in their position.
Might not even be that good. Remember Jason Castro when the Astros were losing 100 games?
Because again,
he was batting like 190.
It's got to be this one of them group projects, right? Like this is one of them group projects where everybody got to show up. And so, yes, you will have to have the Chicago White Sox mm-hmm. represented in some way with one of these players, right? You will have to have the Los Angeles Angels, although the Angels aren't nearly as bad as the White Sox, but even the Royals. I did not realize the Royals were that damn bad, even though they fired their manager recently. But I feel like going back to Jake mm-hmm. Myers, if he stays on pace, which is a huge if.
Yeah.
Because we mentioned it last year, he started, his May was even hotter than this one, mm-hmm. and it really tapered off. So, Jake, if he can manage to stay in this place, now we're cooking with some. I just that's a big if, but he has been very helpful for you to this point.
Well, and there's another factor that the Astros somewhat starting to take care of this issue, but you're not going to have a 500 team or a slightly over 500 team with 4 All-Stars. Or 5 All-Stars. Just not going to happen. You have to be good, too.
Right.
And you know, so if you're talking about Hunter Brown, lock it up.
Feels like it.
Josh Hader, lock it up.
Feels like it.
Isak Paredes, lock it up.
I think I'd feel comfortable with that.
That's pretty much the limit, and that's stretching the limit. That's going to work against Jake Myers.
And one of the things that also hurts Jake Myers here, 281, great point. Obviously, I'm looking at season-long numbers and forgetting that this dude has been on an absolute tear. Javi Baez has been mm-hmm. incredible. Mm-hmm. Thus far for the Guardians. So, yeah, man, that's one of those ones that, oh, yeah, he's been really, really good playing in center field. So those are the types of guys that also have the narrative mm-hmm. that fit in there. Pena is an interesting one at shortstop because you look at...
And I didn't even mention him.
Yeah, you're starting to add how many possible guys in
you
there?
You can't have five. Five. They're not going to be 1 or 2 games over 500 with 5 All-Stars.
Right.
It's just not going to happen.
Right. So at this moment, like... It feels like you can go with the pitchers probably with mm-hmm. a certain team. Like you got a starter who is
for sure.
Cy Young conversation, right? Top 5 Cy Young mm-hmm. type guy. You have Hader who has easily been the mm-hmm. most effective with his save opportunities and has not blown a save yet, right? Like those mm-hmm. feel like those are in there. I think I put Paredes in there and I go, hopefully Pena, even though Pena at shortstop has been pretty damn good.
One or the other, who do you pick, Pena or Isak? Got to be one of those two.
If I had to pick between them, mm-hmm. I would want it for Pena. I would want it for Pena in the ways that this has represented development. But Isak Paredes has just been so damn steady. Mm-hmm. And I feel so confident in what he's able to do and what he will continue to do that it feels like he's deserving of such.
And the one thing he is, you mentioned, does any of that stuff surprise me? And I said no, but his defense is perfect. I mean, his defense has been perfect. And that might be a little bit of a happy surprise there.
832 said 2 starters in Pena and Hunter Brown, 3 backups in their mind. But that is Valdez and Jake Myers.
Yeah, I don't think so. I hope you're right. You know, I hope you're right, but
all of them all-stars?
No, that will not happen.
I think that you got an all-star short list, yeah. And then we'll circle back around. But of course, all of this is
and he really didn't even early. Put Paredes on there, so make it six.
Yeah. Well, no, he did. He had Paredes in there as one of the backups.
Not put? Okay, JP Hunter. Oh, you didn't put a Hader.
Yeah, no Josh Hader in there, and he's just been incredible as a reliever.
I think the question is, who is going to get snubbed? It's going to be somebody.
We're
going to
be
list.
Talking about that.
It's like the one that gets snubbed because I think for sure it is. I would say for sure two, but you could put in three.
Three would be like is it stretching it, but very very justifiable. I'm afraid Jake Meyers might have, and especially if he continues it through June, he might have the best case and get snubbed.
Yeah. It's fair that also to remember that, you know, there's more to be seen. There's a fair text that comes in talking about the Mariners closer having 15 saves as well. Like, that's tough for Hader, but he has been incredible in his opportunities. I guess that's where I've been a little myopic here with Hader and what he's done. And yes, Bobby Witt obviously is holding on to shortstop. We're not talking about Pena's. Oh, I guess I read the text about Pena as a starter. That is fair. It feels like your pitchers are where you have an opportunity to really have starters. And then beyond that, you're looking at guys that can maybe fit in.
Yeah.
So the interesting thing is that the Astros still have the level of talent to some degree where you have all-star considerations.
Yeah.
But you're not in the same place where I feel like you have as many all-star starters type feel.
To me, the interesting thing is we're doing all this exercise and we haven't mentioned Yordan or Altuve.
And that speaks to just how slow. Well, I mean, Altuve is not necessarily like the slow start per se. I think he's just been slow.
Yeah,
this has been a slow start, and it's not going to be get any better with the update that we got that he's still hitting off of a tee, and we're not sure exactly when. He said that it could be a day, it could be 2 days. That doesn't feel like it's actually going to be a day or 2 days. That feels like just a manner of speaking to maybe get you to a place where you feel good about the near future and hopefully him returning. But that is kind of incredible that you're not mentioning those two guys when you're talking about them. But yeah, that is fair. That is fair. Somebody said Hunter will be snubbed. Mm-hmm. Could you see a possibility where Hunter Brown himself, as the starter that he has been to this point, and with no real signs of slowing down, of course, knock on wood, you know, with the ways that the Astros can maybe have an injury pop up out of nowhere, do you feel like there's any possibility where he ends up being?
I really don't. Because he's been enough of a name. I mean, you know, maybe not the biggest, but enough of a name. And I mean, he's just untouchable.
Yeah,
right now.
I think his name is in the conversation. Yeah. It's a Cy Young. So I would be shocked if he gets snubbed.
Oh, and from the 281, what does myopic mean? Having blinders on a little bit, being very, I guess, very close and closed in your view and your vision, right? So I guess I would say I've had a little bit of blinders on is the way. That'll adjust that. But very interested to see what that looks like. And I guess ultimately, you're a quarter of the way this season. That's not that big of a deal at this point. It was just an interesting thought that came up when talking to B. Scott about this Astros team, especially after a victory where you got exactly what you need. The bottom of the lineup showed up. And some of those guys that we're talking about, Jake Meyers has been very good for you. Jeremy Pena has remained very good for you. Isak Paredes doing all that he needs. And tonight on the mound for you is a brand new pitcher, right? Like you have an entirely new guy trying to fill in that kind of fifth, sixth role when it comes to starters to help you get through this 17 games in 17 days for the Astros. And how are you feeling about this stretch to this point? Because they win tonight. They will have won four of these five series.
Yeah.
Obviously, they would still need to finish out the Rays series there. But, man, they're putting together.
They've been clutch. You know, we talked about it yesterday. They've had some very clutch moments lately, and that's the one thing that has really saved them in this stretch. So they're still in line to maybe go, 11 and...
You went 11 and 6.
11 and 6.
Yeah, I was hoping for 10 and 7, and I mean, all they've got to do is get this win and then, you know, split against the Mariners, and you're right in that space. So excited to see how that goes. It's Brandon Walter on the mound versus Zach Littell versus for the Rays. That starts at 6:05. First pitch there at Steinbrenner Field in Tampa. There you go. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next is typically the time where we hand things over to Figgy Fig for Figgy's mixtape. What you got for us, brother?
Yeah, so we got a prison break update. One more down. We got six more to go. I'll give you an update on that. Plus, we're going to play a little game of Figgy's Beyond Belief.
Okay.
Fact or fiction.
Oh. All right. Well, I want to see what that looks like, and I will stick around to find out about that next.
Yes, it is.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the mixtape in the Loop Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to everyone out there. We got a prison break update, man. So Orleans Parish Prison is so we've been talking about the breakouts. Mm-hmm. It was 10 guys that broke out of a New Orleans prison. And we got another one, man. One guy has been found by the name of Gary Price. And I'm not sure if this is the same guy that was sleep on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently the sheriff found somebody sleep on the bench that was one
that
of the
inmates. That was a convict or an ex
or
whatever?
Yeah. So I guess he had nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people, we didn't even get to this yesterday, but a lot of people been putting in parlays and stuff on who was going to be the last man standing. So I got their picture right here. So you can look on the rundown. Who you think going to be the last man?
The last one caught.
Yeah.
My money is on who looks like they're smart enough to not get caught.
Sometimes it's about also good fortune.
Yeah. Who's going to be the last one?
I'm going to go with Lenton Van Buren.
Okay.
Lenton Van Buren is going to be the last one standing. He looks like he's about ready to, he knows what he's doing.
I'm going to go with Derrick Groves.
Mm-hmm. That's also where I was going
to
go.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because he kind of looked, like to me, I think the thing with the tattoos on the face and all that stuff, I feel like it's a slim chance you're going to get away for good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, real identifiable features on a lot of these other gentlemen.
Yeah, Antoine Massey, he's getting caught.
Yeah, he's got many face tattoos.
Yeah, I'm not putting my money on him.
He's got many face tattoos. A lot of these other guys have somewhat distinctive hairstyles. Our guy, Derrick Groves, he
could put on a wig.
He's just a man.
He could put on a wig and you won't even recognize
him. Well, now we got to make it interesting. I got Lenton Van Buren.
You're a sick human being because I know what you mean by making it interesting. And no, I will not do that. I am not betting on which of these gentlemen stays out of being the longest.
Yeah, yeah. So, yep, that's your update. Hopefully, soon we will have all 10 of these guys.
Mm-hmm. And a fair point made on the Twitch chat here. Which one of them looks smart enough to not get caught again?
No, well, this is true.
That is true. That's technically a thing.
Yeah. All right, so let's play the game of Figgy's Beyond Belief. Have y'all watched that show?
Remember that show? I have not.
Yeah, you don't remember the show with the guy? I forgot his name, but he would put all these scenarios out beyond belief.
Is that like Ripley's?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like Ripley's.
Beyond Belief, Fact or Fiction. I remember that guy. They had a good run.
Yeah. Remember this theme song?
Yeah, yeah.
That show used to scare me a little bit, man, because it would be some creepy stuff that happened.
Yeah.
And be like, yeah, this was real. Yeah. This happened in the 1800s. And da, 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 da. So,
yeah, it was on for 7 years.
Yeah, it was on for a little bit, man. Yeah. So I'm gonna try to keep tally.
Okay.
I'm gonna try to keep a little tally. I'm gonna give y'all some headlines,
mm-hmm.
and I want y'all to tell me if it's real or if it's fake.
Okay.
All right, so the first one. A Florida man claims he's half dog. Bart said a police officer during her arrest and said he's part of a new species called Canuman.
Canine man. Or maybe that was it. I don't know.
Canuman.
That is absolutely believable. Absolutely. Like somebody kind of maybe a little bit mentally challenged, strained. Emotionally.
And remember,
strained.
He's from Florida man.
Yeah.
Florida man, you had me at Florida man. I'm going to say that is true.
It is believable. Here's the thing, though. I always end up getting double crossed by games of this nature because I'm like, that might be too believable for this particular game.
Yeah.
You're trying to trick me. And then it ends up being like, no, you should have just went with your first guess. So I'm going to try not to overthink this here. And I hope that the fans and the listeners are playing along. 713-572-4610. I'm going to say that I believe that this is a real thing, but I'm going to be real mad if it's not, because I did surmise the game, but I will ultimately put in my guess as believe it.
Yes, it is.
You're right. It's fact. Yes. A similar event did take place.
Dang.
It's true. It actually happened not too long ago. I think it was, I want to say, maybe a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. So he's just out here barking at police, you said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was so apparently he was around an Advanced Auto Parts store.
I don't know why barking. That store in particular makes me laugh, but that's funny. Yeah.
He was barking for an hour.
Yeah. He was chasing cars.
Here's the tough part,
He was on that dog food. That's what it was.
The tough part is, if a dog is barking at something, you're just like, hey, shut up. That's annoying. Yeah. You're not going to do anything about it. If a man is barking at someone, someone's probably going to go touch him up, right?
Yeah, it's a little bothersome.
Or probably stay away from him.
Yeah.
Because he's crazy. Mm-hmm. What about this one? Arizona couple opens a drive-through funeral home.
A drive-through funeral
home. I believe that.
So where's Aunt Mary? She's in the back seat. You just drop her off?
Yeah. So apparently mourners can pay their respects by driving, without leaving the car.
This absolutely seems like something that could have easily been cultivated during the pandemic, like the height of the pandemic when you did not. I could see that. It feels a little insensitive to be fair.
Well,
but
Yeah.
I could see this coming through.
I'm gonna say no, because I feel like there are some laws that might be broken somewhere along the line. There.
When has that ever stopped anybody?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
Yes. Dang. A similar event did take place.
That is true.
Mm-hmm. I figured out my scheme in this game. just I think I figured it out.
All right, so Reggie is up 2-1.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't realize it was like that.
Yeah, okay. I'm trying to take score. I'm bad with taking score.
Yeah.
So what about this one? McDonald's testing the McSpaghetti. Come back in select U.S. cities. It's saucy, nostalgic, and allegedly back on the secret menu.
I'm going to say no way this is true. If only from a business perspective, it's too expensive to put some sort of spaghetti machine or spaghetti pot in all those McDonald's.
That's an interesting perspective. I had not thought about, like, what is the actual food service?
Yeah, they got, like, retrofit. Their kitchens.
Or it's like, are they flash freezing spaghetti and then...
Maybe, yeah.
Like, how are they heating it? Does that end up being a microwave? Do you drop it into... Like, you can't drop it into the fryer. And I don't know that people are like, boil it. Yeah, actually, I'm with you here. I don't think that this is believable.
Yes, it is.
Dang. What?
It's fact.
It's true.
Y'all get spaghetti from McDonald's?
No.
So apparently the mixed spaghetti was real overseas and made a comeback in the Philippines.
Ah, okay. See, if you had told me it was the Philippines, that's something different.
But he said select U.S. cities.
Yeah, on the secret menu and select U.S. cities.
Oh, okay.
Somebody said to compete with Jollibee, which I guess that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Jollibee, I haven't had spaghetti at Jollibee, though. Okay. I feel like I'm missing out there. But yeah, I did not. Best of luck to y'all if y'all get, honestly, spaghetti at McDonald's. Really?
That's crazy. That's almost like chicken nuggets at Taco Bell, which they have right now. But what about this one? A new club called Granny Grinders opened in Oregon with 65-plus dancers, bingo, and zero teeth required.
Okay, hold on. I can understand.
Is this Figgy Shake joint? Is that what that is?
It is not. Although Tyler, he did text me and say if he had opened up a strip club, it would be called T-MILFs.
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 Well, apparently this one is close.
It's close to it.
It's close to it. Granny Grinders I could totally buy. And what makes it even more believable to me is they're going to play bingo too. Like, I just come here for the bingo. I just come here for
that's
the bingo.
That's like I'm going to the strip club for the food.
Yeah, I'm just coming here for the bingo. Yes, I believe that's true.
In Oregon, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know about this one. I'm this is not believable to me.
It's false.
Yeah!
Right. Yeah!
So this is a fake
story. Lopez wanted this to be true. He was about to plan his trip.
So shout out to Marty from No Said Tailgate. He actually sent me this article.
Yeah.
And apparently it's a fake art. It's a fake... I mean, it's not a fake website, but this website do funny stories like this. And I guess a couple years ago, they did one about a pregnant strip club.
Oh. Okay.
That would actually sell, sad to say.
Yes, it would.
There are people that have that, that particular appreciation.
Yeah. I believe they're called fetishes.
Okay. That is fair. That is what they are called. You are correct.
All right. I'm going to do the last one right here. So,
by the way, you can't win. I just want you to know it's 3-1.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. I've won. I just wanted to let you know ahead of time as I you know, high step it into the end zone before I even reach there. I just don't need to drop the football. That's
now,
all.
Now he's taunting, so he's going to get a penalty, and I'm going to win.
All right. So this is the last one. So Alabama middle school bans students from saying, okay, boomer. Is that real?
That sounds real.
It sounds real to
that
me,
sounds
too.
Very real.
Yeah, I'm in on that one.
Yes, it is. Yeah. You're right. It's okay, fact. Boomer.
But
yes,
they be real annoying about it.
Yeah, so I guess apparently they didn't want to, they felt like that was bullying the teachers.
There you go. See? See there?
So, man, that's, talk about sensitive.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the teachers don't get paid enough to get bullied,
man,
as well.
Well, man, that's true.
Back in my day, we used to call teachers
Yep.
Yeah, it was students out there just MFers and mm-hmm. all that type of stuff. So, yeah, so okay, boomer, that's where you draw the line mm-hmm. at.
That is true. Like we probably can let a little bit more slide, but I guess if you're not going to give them reasonable class sizes or, you know, pay raises or whatever, at least stop the kids from getting on their damn nerves.
Yeah.
To the best of your ability.
Yeah, that was Figgy's Beyond Belief on mm-hmm. In the Loop Sports
I like
Radio
that.
16.
Yeah,
maybe I'd do that a couple times, a couple headlines to see if it's real or mm-hmm. fake and all that stuff.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's the mixtape in the Loop Sports Radio 610. I'll get you guys out of here on this. So, Devontae Yaps, who is our adult entertainment correspondent.
Oh, we've heard from him.
Yep, he spoke again.
I was like, why do I know this
name?
Yeah,
we've heard from him.
This is why.
Yeah, so he spoke again, and this time he was talking about the best duo in sports.
In that sport?
In sports.
Oh, in sports, okay.
In sports. So here's Devontae Yaps talking about his best duo in sports.
We should all know by now, you need at least two superstars to win a championship in this league. But you also can't just slap two greats together and expect a ring. Real success? That comes from chemistry. Today, we're ranking some of the league's best duos. Not hype, not clout, pure on-court dominance.
On-court.
Some of you are wondering, why do I have the same picture up here twice? This is Pinky and Cherokee. This right here is my Kobe and Shaq. Pure physical dominance meets intensity. They're the last team to three-peat with ease. They linked up on West Coast Productions, and they had Brian Pumper feeding them the ball. They had a dynasty. Both of them dropped 30 in a finals game. Absolute legends.
Brian Pumper.
He's feeding them the ball.
That is a real name. I think the bit is going too far. Because, like, the idea of I'm going to talk about adult entertainment like it's other sports.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, but now it feels like he's forcing it now. You know what I mean? Like, what does championships entail here? Is he talking about them awards?
Gotta have chemistry, man.
No, I understand. that is an understandable thing. There's a lot of things in life where you need chemistry. When he's like, they won multiple championships. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what are the championships? What are we talking about here?
So he actually put up a list of the best duos in sports. Mm-hmm. And he brought up Lisa Ann. So,
wow.
Yeah, Lisa Ann, she's a fan of the show.
Our friend.
Yeah, a friend of Sean Pendergast and all that stuff.
I like that you said that particularly. Like, I understand what you mean, but it sounds like you're like,
hey, whenever he go to New York, they had dinner together. Him mm-hmm. and the wife and Lisa Ann. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's a friend of Sean Pendergast.
Good chemistry.
I gotta keep a list of like a running list of Sean's friends. Cause it's a fun list. It's like mm-hmm. John Gruden, Lisa Ann, apparently mm-hmm. Dak Prescott. Like we gotta run this list.
Yeah. Yeah. Put out the list. Mm-hmm. So here's Devontae Yaps. Talking about Lisa Ann and another sports star, Julia Ann.
Ann and Julia Ann are a legendary duo. They are Tim Duncan and Manu Ginobili.
Wow.
They have unmatched IQ. Lisa is technically sound and has no wasted motion. Julia brought the spark, the flair. They've seen every era, adapted to every play style, and still found a way to dominate whenever they linked up.
Tactically.
So is Lisa Ann, is she Tim Duncan or Manu?
Oh, she's Tim Duncan. Yeah, okay. No, for sure she's Tim Duncan.
Five rings. Okay.
What does that mean?
It means you have welts. No. Lisa Ann, she'll post you up. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, apparently Lisa Ann also went to Sean's wedding.
Yeah, she did. She did.
Like, this is real friendship. Yeah, okay. Yeah, she went. Sorry, did not really. My bad. I had no idea. I am learning in real time.
It's funny. I had no idea who Lisa Ann was when she came up to the station.
Really?
Good for you.
I was a part-time board op producer, and she had came in town, and she was here. And I guess I had to record some stuff for her. And everybody's like, ooh, Lisa Ann. I'm just like, I have no idea who this lady is. I never watched anything from her. And when she came in, she was super nice. She was super nice and told me keep doing my thing.
Oh, she's great. Yeah, I've spoken with her a few times, mostly just here and there. But yeah, she seems great.
That's
cool.
That's very nice. Someone said from the 832 when they were up in Massachusetts at McDonald's, they had a crab roll at certain times. Would not recommend. Or lobster roll, actually, is what they added that to. So, yeah, just I feel like if you at McDonald's, stick with, you know.
Come on, play the hits.
I wonder if they have it here, that secret menu, that mixed spaghetti.
I will not be the one to find out. If you do find out, let us know on the text line, 713-572-4610. Or just hit up our guy, at the Figgy Fig on social media. That's how you get at him. That's the Figgy's mixtape. 1:20 p.m. every weekday right here on Sports.
Somebody asked me from the 346, what you record her for? Talk about Lisa Ann.
Oh, that is a good question that I did not think about.
It was audio recording.
Uh-huh, sure. And they need that as part of it.
Now, I think 610 at the time, we had a program director that was all into that witty type stuff.
Yeah.
So she was reading some lines or something. Okay. I have no idea.
You don't remember anything?
I'm going to have to find it.
What was your POV of the whole thing?
It was good. I actually took a picture of her doing it.
Mm-hmm. I bet you did.
Or I think I recorded her doing it. I'm going to have to find it.
Yeah, ah.
She was trying to read it in like a sexy voice and all that stuff.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. Excellent.
And then she said, you want to take a picture? I'm like, sure. I guess so. She asked for the picture. So
you're like, I don't even know who you are, but lady, let's do that. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we get you ready to listen to the fellas of The Drive. Clinton Ron, we'll do that next. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. You heard the big voice, man, Reginald Atatula, John Lopez. I said my name twice. Apparently, I just really excited about it. We were talking earlier with B. Scott about how he got his name and how both his names, given names, came from his mother's fascination with soap operas. And we found out a lot about all of you, our listeners. As you told us the various things that you were named after. I guess I should participate. Apparently, my name, according to my dad, at the very least, my biological father, the idea of Reginald, I was named after a couple of basketball players.
Okay.
Reggie Theus, Reggie Miller. I don't know if that's true because sometimes dads be lying.
Well, your dad probably suggested Reggie Miller and your mom said Reggie Theus.
Other way around, if anything.
No.
My mom was more of a Reggie Miller fan.
But Reggie Theus was more of a Reggie Theus fan. Known as being quite the looker.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Did not realize that because obviously a little bit before my time. Mm-hmm. But anyways, appreciate you being rock with us. Of course, much appreciation to B. Scott for joining us as he does on Tuesdays. We were talking a little bit earlier about the state of the Texans, that season ticket holder event that the Texans had yesterday, and some more, all sorts of things kind of filtered out. One of the big things we were talking about was just like D'Amico Ryans and the highlight that he had on Justin Watson about being like a hard worker. A couple of other things that came out of it. One of them was D'Amico was asked about the running back room. And one of the things he said was he still believes in Damian, which I think that was something that we probably all would have assumed would have been a response from him. But he also went further to say he wants to see him get more touches this year. How do you feel about that, especially in a circumstance where this is an offense where you still have Joe Mixon and he is going to be, I don't know that we see a change in him being like the workhorse, or maybe you feel that you do see a change in that. You add Woody Marks to this, who seems like he can very much add into what you are doing. where do you see the space for more touches specifically for Damian? And if it does look like that, what does that mean for your offense?
Yeah, this is an interesting one because he wanted to see him get more touches last year. He said it.
True.
Like
very
he,
true.
Like he said that, and then it didn't come to pass. So now maybe that was offensive coordinator, you know, problems or disconnect. Or
I feel like that's we're beyond maybe at this point. There's so much
no,
of this
I'm talking
that
about
feels
specific
like
carries for him. I mean, agreed. We know the offense was kind of an issue.
And honestly, if that's a place where I don't know how much I would blame Bobby Slowick for that, because for what Bobby Slowick was trying to do, Damian Pierce was the wrong tool for the job.
Right.
I think we all saw that. Now, obviously, keeping him around probably serves as was probably a prescient move, knowing that mm-hmm. his value is still there if he is not doing specifically what Bobby Slowick wants to do, and Bobby Slowick clearly no longer here, right?
Right.
But I don't blame him for that. However, now that you're in a circumstance where you're not going to be in that exact same system, I don't know exactly what the system to come is, but it stands to reason that there's probably some gap scheme in there. The viability of Damian Pierce is back in there, you know?
I think you're right. I think the viability of Damian Pierce, that's why I said it's an interesting one, because on the one hand, what you just said is true. New offense, new style, seems to, at least in terms of what we are guessing and educated guests know about what their offense is going to be, it seems to fit Damian Pierce better. So you would think if the head coach wants to see him get more touches, this would be a good opportunity for him to get more touches. On the other hand, you did draft a running back. And it was one of those spots in the draft where he wasn't like a second round pick, which is like a first round in for other positions, you know, when it comes to running back. But still, fourth round drafted running back, I believe Damian Pierce was drafted in the fourth round, if I'm remembering that correctly. So you did draft a running back on the one hand, so you would think Woody Marks might have a good chance to get some of those touches or earn most of them. On the other, Damian Pierce with a new offense, it might fit him better. So it's one of those that's kind of, I'm undecided on just what that might be.
I kind of took that as him saying that as I want to see him win. Like, I want to see him more. Not really demanding that, hey, I want to get him more touches. Mm-hmm. It seemed like he's trying to push him a little
bit. He's pulling for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if he get more touches, he's actually playing pretty good at that point.
Yeah, but I think that also, that's a fair interpretation of it. I don't want to, you know, knock that at all. But I mean, being the head coach of this thing and maybe seemingly taking a little bit more of at least an eye towards the offense is one of the things that we kind of speculated on is maybe did he feel at all burned by the idea that he allowed Bobby Slowick to be some level of head coach of the offense of sorts? And you saw the ways that there was a lack in production in there. Is he going to have a little bit more of a perspective on this? And obviously, a head coach always is going to have say in how that goes to some degree, but he's going to have more of a say of it. And there's also a question to be asked, the 245 carries that Joe Mixon had last year, how sustainable is that really? Because was one of the things we talked about going into last season, the idea of how he is getting a little bit up there in age as a running back.
Yeah.
Not that he cannot handle it. I think we believe that, but do you want him to have that kind of workload, and does it make sense then to have that kind of parsed out a little bit better?
Well, no, it does. It absolutely makes sense for other people to take some of that workload off. I mean, Joe Mixon has had over 1,000 carries in the last four full seasons that he's played. That's a lot. That is a hell of a lot of carries for him. But at the same time, you're not gonna really slow down on the gas pedal with Joe Mixon until you have to, you know, because he has been that good. But I do feel they brought in Woody Marks for a reason. He's a fourth round pick. That's a pretty premium pick for a running back. I mean, the pressure on Damian Pierce is going to be very real to produce either in training camp or preseason or both.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, with Joe Mixon, you missed him for what, three games last year. I even think that there's in this sport, there's always the possibility of a level of injury. If he goes down, I mean, you had Cam Akers kind of carrying the load. Who do you have here to carry the load, especially if you have the kind of split that you had last year where you're not really prepared for the opportunity of somebody else having to do some of the heavy lifting? I do think that there might be. I think
it's the winner of that battle.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued to see like how much, not just who, but how much of a share there is, and maybe you end up with a more of a robust room, which I think it makes sense for that way. But then I also then on the other side stop and I go, are any of these guys real comparisons to the talent that you have out there with Joe Mixon? I just found that to be interesting where D'Amico Ryans you know, seemingly is advocating in some ways, and maybe it's very light. It is in front of season ticket holders many months before we actually get to the season. But maybe he's advocating for a more, you know, a more equal division of labor in that running back room. And a text from the 713 says, D'Amico came for San Fran. Before McCaffrey, they had the three-headed monster. D'Amico wants to run the ball and play defense. That complimentary football absolutely is something that comes up every time. And I'm interested to hear, in some ways, what these fellas feel about it.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.